We have the privilege of having Brother Ben Burks with us. Of course, Miss Wendy has been with us as well, and she has been speaking to our ladies, and just appreciate them so much. They have such a sweet, humble spirit, and the Lord just uses them in a great way. Now, Brother Burks was for many years part of the Reformers Anonymous program, and basically, I'll be honest with you, in some ways, a man that kind of held it together. He won't accept that, but kind of did. In fact, a pair of them there kind of kept it going. To me, they were the face of it. They were the ones that I knew, and that has shifted. They are working with the Bridge right now out of Bridgeport, Michigan, and that was has been R.B. Ouellette's church. He has stepped down. Of course, he was dealing with cancer, but he's been out preaching. Bless his heart. And so anyway, that's good. Bless his heart in a good time, a good way. But anyway, that's great. But now we're able to get Brother Ben here and speaking. Of course, if you are interested, we have some place, you have a program, you need a program that deals with addictions and habits and things that are kind of destroying your people. And sometimes they get saved to come in with all that. But you know what? We got to let them in the door. When I say that, we get to let them in the door. You know, Jesus went out and looked for the halt, the lame, and the blind. And there's problems. Of course, Brother King here worked with RU for many years, and the first time I went to Rockford, we had just gotten here. We've been here about maybe a year, and I knew we wanted to start a program, and we got out there, and Brother King and his dear wife, Miss Katie, she's a sweetie too, and their crew kind of hauled me around, and I got to hang with them the whole week. So I just appreciate they were so very kind to me. And so I want you to give Brother Burks a hand, and you welcome him to preach, and I just appreciate so much him being here and taking his time to be with us. Thank you, sir.
What a joy it is to be here at Lighthouse Baptist Church. We rolled in on Friday night and did the addiction class and had a wonderful time there. They have a man in the church. His name is Mike. And his story, he said it around several people, but I think he tried to commit suicide. And a nurse came in and says, you are unsuccessful. And said, do you know anything about religion or God? He said, we just don't mix on those kinds of things. And the woman said, well, obviously God might have a plan for you since you're still here. And she walked out of the room. He never saw her again. And he got out of the hospital, showed up here on a Wednesday night, felt the love from God, from the pastor and other people in the church. And they introduced him to the guy that runs the, Brother Jimmy, that runs the addiction program. And he showed up at the addiction program and hadn't missed a beat. And boy, he's in discipleship now and he's growing in the things of the Lord. And I say, yes, that's wonderful. Amen. Because the gospel changes people's lives. And we had a wonderful time there. And then I got to be 15, 20 years younger because I turned 60 this year. And I got to hang out with the teenagers on Saturday all day and then preach to them on Sunday and yesterday. And just enjoyed it so very much. And enjoyed being with Brother Harper. I did not know Brother Harper very well. Heard him preach one time before this week, and God has used him to encourage our hearts, Ms. Burks and I. Thank you, Brother Harper. I hope to get your cell and we can stay in touch. And pray for him. He's headed to Korea. Japan. I keep getting mixed up. Japan. And you pray for him in that trip and what the Lord will do there. Take your Bible and turn to the book of James, chapter number 5. James, chapter number 5. We do have a card. And if you want to get it and pray for Wendy and I. And then if you can help me with the addiction program and all, the Bridge to Recovery, tremendous, tremendous material, very simple, very plain, but very, very effective in churches and being used now in foreign countries. And we're glad to be a part of that and thank the Lord for that. You know, we live in a time, and the first message the Lord asked me to speak on this morning, we live in a time where things are pretty serious. We got teenagers in the room, and man, I tell you, preachers can sometimes get real emotional about the seriousness of the hour, and we're like the Lord could come back at any time. And by the way, he could, amen? And I just want you to know, teenagers, if he does, He's not, if you're a Christian, he's not going to mess up anything in your life by coming back, because whatever plan he's got for you is greater than whatever plan you could have for yourself. Amen? I'm just confident of that. I'm confident of that. But I do believe we live in a serious, serious time in our world. And I do believe the coming of the Lord is closer than it's ever been. I think we're very, very serious on the political scene, and it's important that people use their right that they've been given here in America to vote. I've been to countries where they don't have that kind of a right. And thank God for that. And I pray that you're encouraging everyone you can to vote. I think it's tragic what's going on in our public schools and how Christians have left the public sector over the years. And it's not gotten better. It's gotten worse and worse and worse. What can we expect? It's in dire need of a light, in dire need of salt today. I think of children and the trafficking that's going on in our country and the child killings of abortion that is now being ruled in every state what they're going to do. It's just we live in a very, very crucial time. The Bible says in the book of James, chapter number 5, is where we're going to be today, a subject here on prayer, the end of the book. Now, anybody know anything about the book of James, you know that James is a book about practical Christian living. You know that the book of James is about faith expressed through action. You know that it's faith plus works. Faith produces a work. You understand the book of James that faith through righteous deeds and endurance and humility and speech is why God left us here, so the world would hear about him. And chapter 5 draws to the conclusion of that theme of faith and works. And the attention is on prayer. It's a natural climax, in my opinion, of faith and works. Why? Because both the foundation is through faith of Christian living. You can't live, for the just shall live by faith. It's the very foundation of our life that we live by faith. It's also not only the foundation, but is the result of me living by faith. It's the result. Our works is the result of faith in the Lord. Show me your prayer life and I will show you your faith life. Brother Harper said on Sunday morning, faith is believing that God can do something before he does it. Did I get that right? Believing that God, it's the evidence of things not seen. It's believing that God can do something before he does it. Faith is trust in the unseen. No, faith is trusting in God to do what's not seen. My faith has found a resting place. My faith is in the Lord. Faith demands an object, and our object is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Faith is not trusting in the unknown. Faith is trusting in him. Faith is not a works. Romans 4:5 clearly tells us that. But faith is believing and depending and trusting, and faith demands that object, and it's in the Lord, and yet faith produces a work. One of the best working definition I've heard for faith is faith has a responsibility. You can't just say, I got faith and do nothing. Because faith has a responsibility. Here it is. It's my faith. Faith is responsible. Here it is, ready? It's my response to his ability. It's me responding not to what I can do, but what he can do through me. It's me responding in his power. And so when James concludes this book talking about prayer and the practical things that we wished we saw in this country, the practical things that we wished were going on in Israel right now, but yet it's unseen in many, many venues. We learned Sunday morning about Moses and a man of faith. What a great story. We learned on Sunday night about Hebrews chapter 11 and the hall of faith. We learned last night about a girl's book, Ruth, but a woman of great faith. We see the faith is my ability to respond, not to what I can do, but what God can do through me. And so in this subject of the book of James, faith and prayer, James teaches us that faith without works is dead, and prayer is one of the most significant works of faith that Christians have. Amen? Show me your prayer life, I'll show you your faith life. I look at the Bible in the book of James, chapter 1, and it's about endurance. It's about trials and enduring during trials and having patience during trials. And that endurance is closely tied to prayer in James chapter number 5. And we're going to see that today. We see humility in prayer. We see that in James chapter 5 and other places in the book of James. God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. Confess your faults one to another. He said there's a humility there. Humility in prayer. And James frequently addresses the needs for humility. It's look in James chapter 3. He talks about our speech and prayer. And James cautions believers about the power of the tongue, urging them to use it wisely. And prayer is the highest use of our speech as it brings restoration and alignment of believers with God's will. Amen. God works through prayer. So today I want you to look, if you will, in James chapter 5. And I'm going to answer two questions for all of us because we got a different crowd here. We got preachers, and so glad to be with you preachers and you evangelists and missionaries. And what a privilege. And we hope to get to know your name and find out some prayer burdens of yours throughout the day and pray for you. But then there are others who may be that are younger in the Lord and who don't have that position, but you're not any less valuable to God because of some title or some education that you've gained or not gained. You're God's child. You can go right into the office. You can barge right in. You can come boldly to the throne of grace. You don't even need an appointment. But you know, you want to know then, Brother Brooks, how effective can my prayers really be? How can my prayers be effective? Can they really make a difference? Can they really make a difference if I pray for Brother Bixler, who just got a diagnosis that's difficult? Can I really pray for a lost person and make a difference in them hearing the gospel and receiving Christ? Will it change circumstances? Will it deal with issues? So the first question is, how can my prayers be effective? The second question is, how effective can my prayers be? What can really be accomplished? What can we expect? And our text covers both of these things. And James talks about the attributes for an effective prayer life. Look at James chapter number 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, here it is. I'd underline that word effectual. The effectual fervent. I'd underline that word fervent if it's not underlined in your Bible. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. I'd underline those words, righteous man. All having to do with this, circle that word prayer. The effectual, the fervent, the praying of a righteous man. Here's what it says. Availeth, but it doesn't just avail. It avails much, the Bible says. It avails much. How much? What does that look like? Well, let's pray and then we'll get started. Father, thank you for this time, these brief moments And God, I pray all of our hearts will be stirred back to prayer. I pray, Lord, for our country. I pray, Lord, for those who are sick. I pray, Lord, for those who need a healing hand from the Lord. I pray, Lord, I pray that others will pray. Help us in the Lord's name. Amen. The first word I want you to look at is the word effectual. And by the way, the word effectual is tied to the word fervent. The fervent and effectual, they go together. In James chapter 5, the word effectual refers to something that is effective, producing a desired result. It conveys the idea of a powerful, energized, passionate, consistent prayer time. It's prayers from a regular working prayer life. It's not a 911 call here in James chapter 5. You get that? James chapter 5 is not a 911, pick up the phone quickly because we got an emergency going on. It is somebody who barges in the throne room. It's someone who comes regularly. It's someone who visits regularly. It's someone who effectually, they go there often. They pray. They seek the Lord in His face. Reminds me of that great text. So needed in this hour, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Let me tell you what that sounds like. It's coming to God saying, God, I submit to you. That's what humility is. God, I submit to you. Constantly and consistently in every area of our life, kneeling and humbling and saying, God, I'm willing to submit to you, not my will, but thine be done. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. And then he says, then pray. Let me tell you what that sounds like. God, I need you. That's what those words prayer means. God, I need you. I need you in this area of my life. I need you in this area of my family. I need you in this area of our church. I need you in this area of our nation. If my people which are called by my name shall, God, I submit to you. Shall, God, I need you. Shall, God, I want you. That's what it means to seek His face. I want you, God. I want 1,000 to choose from. I'd still choose you. There's nobody like you. I want to be in your presence. I'd rather be here than, I'd rather tell you than tell anybody. Because you're all knowing, you're all powerful. And I want to be on the same page with you. In fact, I want to pray what you would want me to pray. I want to pray after your righteousness. And what you want to see done in my son's life. I want to do what you want to see done in my family's life. What you want to see done in America's life. And so it's effectual. It's a consistent prayer time. The second word that I see is the word fervent. It's built on the word effectual. This energy, this hot, boiling, glowing, earnest, zeal, frequent, consistent, fervent zeal for the Lord. And let me just say, there's humility there. Because proud people don't pray. Proud preachers don't pray. I'm testifying right now. I've had that in my life. I don't want that anymore. I've had it in my life where I did things in the name of the Lord and used His name to produce works, but in the end, my heart knew it wasn't Him. It's what I could do. I've lived long enough to see what the difference is between doing in His power and seeing the results and doing in my power and seeing the results and knowing is special. It's fervent. It's amazing. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. This kind of praying, it also increases value. The miracles we see, the strengthening of character, all the different avenues that getting God involved, God changes lives. The gospel changes people. It's a wonderful thing. We learn the value is not in me, the value is in Him. It's not less of me and more of Him. It's none of me and all of Him. That's the goal here. So, a person who is following God and maintaining a prayer life will find in times of great need that their passionate and persistent prayers to God will be effective. Keep on praying until light breaks through. Keep on praying. He'll answer you. How effective can it be, Brother Burks? Look at verse 16. Confessing your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When prayer is wielded, when power comes, the ability to withstand comes, the being able to overcome comes, the being able to, God is able. And that which is not seen is now seen. And God gets the credit. Amen. And then the word much. If I could talk to James, I'd say, now James, it gets a little complicated, a little bit vague here. What does availeth look like? And what does fervent look like? And what is the, when I read the word righteous man, I know at times in my Christian life, I just wanted to tap out because I realized I can't be one of those. And so James says, I thought you were going to say something like that. That's why the Holy Spirit told me to put the next verse in. Verse 17. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. He just like you and me had the same passions and desires, good and bad, that you and I have had. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by a space of 3 years and 6 months. Elijah, when I hear that word, almost I want to tap out. But wait a minute. I want you to go to 1 Kings chapter 19. Hold your place in James. We'll come right back. 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. And let's look at the one illustration the Holy Spirit used to conclude this book to talk about faith, a faith that works, faith plus works, faith plus works. The works is still God's works. The works is still God's ways. Look at 1 Kings chapter 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a message unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Who said that? Jezebel said that. Jezebel said, man, she was not happy, and she lights into the preacher, the prophet Elijah, and he sent messengers to Elijah and says, so let the gods do to me and more also if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Look at verse 3. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my father. All that, all of the prayers, all of the rain stopping, all of the events in the former chapter, the Mount Carmel, all of that, all Elijah wanted was to see those people know that the Lord, He is God. And here's Jezebel, she hadn't learned one thing. And she unwisely convinced her husband. I'm not sure he did either. What a mess. And Elijah says, you know what, just forget it. It's not working. And he goes a day's journey, and then he leaves his servant, and he isolates and gets under a juniper tree and says, you know, I'd rather die. I'm not good enough. I'm the useless prophet. I failed. Take my life. I'm done. Let me just say this. The righteous man is not a perfect man. When you see those words, I want you to know the righteous man is not a perfect man. All of us fail. All of us have great bursts of energy for the Lord, but all of us have that cliff that comes. All of us have that great burst of energy, but all of us have experienced the juniper tree every now and then. And we read about the great people of history in the Bible, and then we read about others who, since the Bible was given, written, and put in our hands, we read people who believed God and had trust in God and faith in God and saw great things happen, like Amy Carmichael and Hudson Taylor, Ian Bounds and Spurgeon and Corrie ten Boom and Mary Schlosser and Bilquis Cheek and David Brainerd and Ian Bounds and George Mueller. But they too had juniper moments too. And we're not eliminated from this power because of these days. But in James chapter 5, when he says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, and the illustration in verse 17, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. God would withhold the rain. Wait a minute. Do you know what that does? That changes the economy real fast. Brother Brian, I had a real difficult time last week. I had to go vote because I'm going to be out of town. And I've been earnestly praying. I've been going to churches with Byron Fox, trying to help others to pray and get ready for this election. And we don't need 40 million Christians who don't vote this season. We need every voice to be used. And every Christian's voice to be used to God in heaven. God, spare us. And I think we ought to go to the polls and we ought to vote based upon the policies of the group that is closest to what we believe from that book right there. And it's pretty clear choice. If you don't know how clear it is, go to the back room right back there and get you. There's a dozen papers back. Go pick one up. Any of them. But Brother Harper, as I was preparing to vote and spending some time with the Lord concerning voting, I thought, I wonder, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I wonder what God really wants to happen. If Elijah prayed that it would not rain, knowing the effects of that, but his prayer was to turn the hearts of the people so they would know He is God. Maybe our prayers need to get a little bolder. And I'll tell you how they get bold. We become righteous people. You say, what's that mean? That means we pray not our will, but God's will be done. And we don't do that vaguely. We get alone with God. We get in His book. We hear His sermons from preachers. And we find out what God wants to do and what God wants to see. And we say, Lord, let it be so. Amen and amen. Whatever it takes for my will to break, Lord. That's who. Would you just say? Yeah, that's tough words right there. That's what I'd be willing to do. Righteous. Praying. How many believe that's what's needed this hour? Yeah. Oh, a call back to prayer. It's someone who wants God to have his way with him and with others. The word best describes in the English language, in my opinion, that describes God as God is good. Amen. The fact the Bible says in Genesis, everything he did was good. Over and over, it's good, it's good, it's good. In Psalm 100, for the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth for all generations. In Nahum, it says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust him. Psalm says, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. The book of Acts says, and went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And when God is with us, good comes out. Amen. And it comes out in our prayers. Not good defined by this world, but defined by our God. Hebrews, having tasted the good word of God and the power of the world to come. I want you to notice the effectual man in verse Kings 18:1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came unto Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Before he ever got involved with fervency, Elijah was effectual. He had a prayer life. He had a time alone with the Lord. He had communion alone with the Lord. Look at chapter 18 of the book, verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, and there's a sound of an abundance of rain. So Ahab, by the way, there was no sound, but Elijah heard it. By faith, Elijah heard it. God said he was going to send the rain. He started hearing. That's like deer hunting. You get in a stand, and before you ever see the deer, if you're a good hunter, you hear it. Even if you don't hear it, you think you heard it. Am I right? He's coming. Effectual. He said, verse 42, so Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went to the top of Mount Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. He's up there having a feast. He's up there eating. Hey, it's going to rain, my God said. Go eat, Ahab. Go get something to eat. Go, whatever food you got, cook it, because rain's coming. And what does Elijah do? He goes up on the mountain, gets down on his face before the Lord. God, I submit to you. I submit to your ways. I submit to your word. I need you. 3 years now. God, I need you. I want you. I want them to see that the Lord, he is God. And he got a little servant there. And he says, I want you to run up to the top up there. I want you to look over to the ocean. And let me know if you see anything. Come back and tell me. He come back and didn't see nothing. Happened again. A few minutes, a little while later. Would you go up there and see, check on it one more time? Time number two. Same thing, nothing. Three, nothing. Four, nothing. Well, what does the Bible say? It says, and he sent his servant, verse 43, go up now, look on the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And he said, go again seven times. Go again seven times. Oh, pray when the storm clouds gather overhead, hiding the light from you, filling your soul with darkness and dread. Pray till the light breaks through. Press under sorrow, near to despair. Troubles your souls pursue. Go to your Father, tell him your care. Pray till the light breaks through. Pray then believing. God on his throne looks with compassion true. Unto his children, cares for his own. Pray. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. Keep on praying. The Lord will answer you. God keeps his promises. His word is true. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. Look at verse number 44. See what we're talking about here. And it came to pass in the seventh month that he said, behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in a meanwhile that the heavens was black with clouds and the wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. But look at verse 46. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins. Ahab's in a chariot. Ahab's in a chariot. Elijah is running with a robe on, gird up, and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. I believe that's a miracle right there. Amen. I am telling you, folks, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm going to give you some takeaways. I'm going to sit down. Number one, write them down if you're writing down. Number one, power in prayer is not complex. Now, books written on them can be complex. But I'm telling you, power in prayer is not complex. I showed you that today. Number two, you can be frail and still be effective. You can struggle and still be effective, but you must be effectual. Have that regular time. Have irregular times where you just start calling out on the Lord because you need His help. And you submit. God, I need you. And God, I want you. Number three, the righteousness is like a filter to our prayer life. Righteousness is like a filter. When we learn to care about what God cares about, when we love His kingdom more than the one down here, when we want people to know the Lord more than we want them to know us. Righteousness in prayer filters out vengeance. Righteousness in prayer filters out bitterness. Righteousness in prayer filters out selfishness. Righteousness in prayer filters out envy. Righteousness in prayer filters out guilt. Righteousness in prayer filters out covetousness. Righteousness in prayer filters out the flesh. And number four, James' use of Elijah and the rain is meant to inspire bold, single one of us to leave here today bold in praying. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? I met God in the morning when day was at its best, when His presence came like a sunshine, like a glory in my breast. All day long His presence lingered. All day long He stayed with me. As we sailed in perfect calmness o'er a very troubled sea. Other ships are blown and battered, and other ships are sore distressed. Then I thought of other mornings with a keen remorse of mine, when I too had loosed the moorings with His presence left behind. So I think I know the secret, learned from many a troubled way. You must meet God in the morning if you want to have Him throughout the day.